You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church, Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us online at www.phcwandsworth.com.
I'm excited. We're in a series at the moment called Jehovah Jireh, and so this is well in his name, but tonight we're going to speak about Jehovah Jireh, and this is a very powerful message, even if I may say so myself. Amen. Not because of me, but because of him. Also, just to let you guys know, we do have a concert this weekend. Get involved in that. Amen. We're going to be out on the streets laboring and doing everything. We are going to have one of our well-being sessions this weekend as well. And so get ready for that. And there still are some more t-shirts. Speak to Brother James or Brother Miles or Brother Kyle. We've got more t-shirts for that. And so you can get involved on Saturday and come out. How many have been eating better this week? Amen. Hallelujah. That's good. I see people putting things in their groups, drinking water and eating and running upstairs. I was thinking, how do we know they actually ran up those stairs, man? I mean, that's good to do that. It's good. Very good. Keep it up. We are loving God. God is loving us, and we are doing the best that we can. Amen. Okay, so let me go into tonight. Tonight we are going to speak about the name. So we've gone through Elohim, we've gone through Jehovah, and so everybody's clear about that. Amen. We understand those names, and if you wasn't here last week or the week before, you go online and you can listen to those two sermons and it will all become pretty clear. But tonight we're looking at the name Jehovah Jireh. We're going to use it rather than the Yahweh. It's easier for me to pronounce Jehovah Jireh rather than Yahweh, Yaha, however it's pronounced. But Jehovah Jireh, and what it really means is the name means the Lord sees, or in the context, it means the Lord provides. The Lord sees what I need and he provides for me. And let's get into Genesis 22 verse 14. The Bible says, and Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. Let's pray. Father, we just ask you right now for your anointing. We pray, Heavenly Father, for a visitation of your Holy Spirit. We're gathered, we're all present, we're in your house. I pray, Father, that you would just pour out your spirit, bring people into this place, Father, that need to hear a word from you. Father, I pray that you would just manifest yourself, that we would know you as Jehovah Jireh. Father, there are many needs in this place today. There was a multiplicity of situations and circumstances. I pray that this word would meet those people wherever they are, because you are faithful. Magnify the name of your son Jesus. And all God's people said,
amen.
And all the real Christians said,
amen.
Hallelujah. Jehovah Jireh, God our provider, the Lord provides. So let me start by saying this. Our God Yahweh, our God Jehovah, he is a provider. He is a provider. Now, not only is he a provider, he is a supernatural provider. That means he provides for us out of the supernatural. We've seen this all throughout the Bible. We see that our God is a God who meets Abraham and he provides for him a child. Now, how many know people having children all the time? People are pregnant all the time. We recently had a newborn in our congregation, Brother Kenny and Sharice. Amen. And Ava. Yeah, there you go. I'm getting there, man. Ava. And so that's our new attendant, a new member. Amen. She hasn't gone through new members class yet, but she's a new member. And so people are coming all the time and they're having babies and there's more babies on the way in Jesus' name. But that's not the amazing thing. The amazing thing is these people are like well past the age of having children. Well past the age of having children. What it says is that in a dead womb, from a guy that is unable, really, is too old. So here is the scenario. Here is, the Bible describes her womb is dead. The Bible describes him. He's too old. He's too old. Nothing happening. God is still able to bring about a child. That's supernatural provision. That means that you may be in a circumstance and a situation where in where you are right now, the circumstance of your life, it looks dead. But we have Jehovah Jireh. The things that you look at, the environment that you're in, the place where you are, it's just dead. There is nothing here. God provided a child in that circumstance. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's a supernatural provider. Not only do we see it with Abraham, we see it with Moses. Moses is in the wilderness with the children of Israel, and God provides manna. There's no, this bread from heaven. The Bible says that they would get up in the morning and it would just appear there. They don't know where it's from. They don't know what it's made of. There's no clue, but God provides. And can I say to you today, this is Jehovah Jireh. That you can look at a situation in life and be like, I don't know where it's going to come from. How many have been in that place where it's like, I don't know where this is going to come from. I don't know where my solution is going to come from. I don't know where this is going to actually appear. But God, in the Bible, shows us that God was the one who supernaturally provided for them. Not only do we see that he makes dead wombs bring children. He brings bread out of nowhere. Because sometimes you say, hey, believe God. Where's God going to bring it from? Out of nowhere. He can, yes. Exactly. He can bring it out of nowhere. But not only that, we see that when God tells the prophet Elijah, and he says, listen, I want you to grow. I want you to go here, and I'm going to get some ravens to come and feed you. If you know anything about ravens, ravens are ravenous. They're just going to be eating. Ravens don't go around delivering packages of food to people. Ravens are going to eat it themselves if they're going to get any food. That is their nature. But God is able to provide for you supernaturally, that the very thing that it will go against its nature to bring you what you need. You may be, oh no, they don't do that. They don't bless me. They don't. You can't go into a job and ask that. They won't give you a promotion. This situation, this company, it's not like that. God can actually provide for you through an avenue where it goes back on the very nature of what it is. You could be, oh no, I remember people telling me, Connie, you know, you'll never get a place. The council, they won't give you a place. This was many, many years ago. And I'm just a single guy. I said, listen, I need my own place, man. I want to have Bible study and prayer meeting and fellowships and discipleship. I need my own place. This is what I want to do. I was sleeping on guys' floor, sharing in this house, sharing in that house. I'd never, you know, for the first 4 years of my salvation, I've got nowhere to live. I'm just camping around like the children of Israel, just wandering from house to house. And I said, you know, that's it. I'm putting in a form. No, listen, they're not going to give you. You're not, you know, you listen, how are they going to give you? You haven't got no kids. You're not a single mother. You're not, you know, that's it. You're going to go way down the line. I put my form in. Within 6 weeks, they gave me a house. 6 weeks, they gave me a house. A Victorian converted house. Top flat. Nice view. Listen, God is able to change the nature of the very thing. Oh, they're selfish. They won't do that. They'll always promoting the wrong thing and the wrong person. No, Jehovah Jireh can get involved. Jehovah Jireh can get involved. This is the God that we serve. Not only do we see that God provides for Abraham and for Moses and Elijah, but the Bible says that God sends the prophet Elijah and he sends him to the widow's house. And if you know the story, the Bible says that the widow was about to cook a last little cake and then eat it, and her and her son are going to die. And the prophet says, listen, go make me a cake first. And that flour and that oil, they will never run out. And the Bible says, just as the prophet prophesied, it never ran out. It never ran out. Imagine, you know, God challenges you to do something. And he says, listen, see now, you black monster, if I go in, I pull out that last bit of money and give that. And he said, listen, go and pull it out. Tie it first. And then afterwards, that card will never run out. Imagine every time you put it in the machine, it's £500 in there. Some of you smile. I ain't seen you smile for months in a sermon. Somebody's like this. But that's what we see in the scriptures. Jehovah Jireh, supernatural provider. This is what we are looking for. God's provision. This is what we want. We do not want to live hand to mouth the rest of our lives. I don't know about you, but I don't want to live hand to mouth the rest of my life. I want Jehovah Jireh. I need God to come down and do a supernatural work in my life beyond my understanding and my wisdom and my education and my skill set. For God to get involved. The place where God reveals himself to Abraham, and Abraham says, listen, you're Jehovah Jireh. We've never seen this before in the scripture where God reveals himself as his name. He is named, he's called now Jehovah Jireh. We want God to reveal himself like that. Amen. We want to know him as Jehovah Jireh. God, our provider, the one who provides supernaturally. And so we need to go to the place where God reveals it to Abraham. The Bible says that God reveals who he is to Abraham on the top of the mountain. This is where God reveals himself. God didn't come down to the lowest point and just say, hey, here I am, I'm Jehovah Jireh. No, on the mountaintop, the Bible says in the text, let me read the text again. At the end of it, it said, to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. That's what many people, they look, where's Jehovah Jireh? Jehovah Jireh, I thought he was Jehovah Jireh. Where's Jehovah Jireh? No, the Bible says in the mountain is where he revealed himself as Jehovah Jireh. Sometimes we got to go higher. If you want to know him as Jehovah Jireh, you need to go higher. You need to go up the mountain. Look at someone and say, go higher.
Go higher.
You got to go higher. How do we get up the mountain? Listen, up this mountain where God is calling you to go, there is no ski lift. You know, ski lift. You ever seen that? I've never been skiing. I think I'd like to be skiing. I don't know about skiing. I like to ski board or whatever that, snowboard, do something like that. But you see those things, they sit on it and they just go up the mountain sideways like that. There isn't one of those for God's mountain. There isn't one of those. You've got to walk up the mountain yourself. If you want to know Jehovah Jireh, how many want to know Jehovah Jireh? Then you've got to go higher. You've got to go up the mountain yourself. There are too many people at the bottom of the mountain. Where's Jehovah Jireh? Jehovah, I'm up here. Come up. See, how do we get up the mountain? Very simple. It is the road that many of us don't want to walk. It's the road of sacrifice. If you want to get up to the mountain, and that's where you see God supernaturally providing job, house, just supernaturally providing revelation, salvation, anointing, supernaturally providing in education and all these things. God is just supernaturally providing. Oh, I'm excited. I heard that he's Jehovah Jireh. Yes, he is. He reveals that at the top of the mountain. See, we know that because the Bible says that the Lord tests him. Let me read verse 1 of our chapter. It says, and it came to pass after these things that the Lord tested, say tested, Abraham, and said to him, Abraham. And he said, here am I. Say, here I am.
Here.
That's what we need to learn to be able to. When God calls us, we say, here I am. You know what that means is, God, what do you want me to do? Many of us are like, God's like calling your name. It's like, let me hear what you got to say first. But what God is, what the Bible says, he says, here I am. I'm listening. Tell me what to do and I'll do it. Then he said, take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. This is what is before we get the revelation Jehovah Jireh. God comes down and he speaks to Abraham and he tells Abraham, listen, Abraham, I want you to offer your son. I want you, Abraham, listen, I'm going to reveal myself to you. And God knew what he was going to do. But the Bible says that God tested him. He's testing him. This is the difference from tempting. The Bible says in the book of James, we know that God does not tempt. And people say, yeah, but tempt and test. Totally different. Test is to bring out what is in you. Tempt is to pull you down. Two different objectives. So we do not tempt. To tempt someone is to try and pull them down. To test is to reveal what's in you. When you go for your driving test, when you sit a mathematics test, they want to know what is in you. Do you have it in you? Revealing what is in you. When a Jezebel comes along, she's wiggling her stuff. She wants to pull you down. Totally different. But let's go back to the story. The Bible says that God says, I'm going to test you. I want to reveal what's in you. God already knew what was in him. But he's like, I want to reveal what is in you, Abraham. And I want you to take your only son and sacrifice him to me. Make a burnt offering. Take him. Listen, that's no joke. That is no joke. This is his only son. This is the son he loves. See, many of us want a revelation from God. Many of us want what God brings, but are we willing to suffer a bit of pain? Do you know why many of us, we do not see God in the way that we desire to see God? It's because we've come to the point where we do not want to have any more pain. You do not want any more pain. It gets to a point, listen, you'll serve God for a while and God say, okay, you want to grow more? You want to get bigger? You got to go for a little bit of a struggle. Okay, and so you're young, yeah, let's go for the struggle, and then you go on. Then you come to another place. Yeah, I want to go even higher. Look at these men, look at what's happening, look what God is doing. God's like, no problem, do you want to struggle a bit more? And it gets to a point, no. I don't want to struggle no more. I don't want to struggle no more. I don't want any more pain. I don't want to struggle, I don't want to go for anything anymore. There are men here, you want anointing, but you do not want to go through the pain that anointing brings. There's people here, they want influence and testimony, but you do not want to go through the pain that influence and testimony must bring. There's people here, you want a good marriage, but you do not want to go through what a good marriage brings. It goes through pain. There is the pain. If you want to grow, if you want life, there's pain. Any lady in this place that's had a baby, she can tell you, when you bring forth some new life, there's pain. That's life. That's the way it is. There has to be a struggle. And this is why it's so hard to find men that will do what God wants them to do. Because they don't want the pain anymore. I've reached the point. This is the same thing we're talking about, well-being. People want a six-pack. People want big muscles. People want to be fit. But we don't want that pain. How many of us, we had some pain? How many was with us that Saturday when we was running around doing them star jumps? I was like, yeah, these are the, what did he say? He goes, yeah. And so people do star jumps like this, but these are the original. I thought, no, let me go back to the old star jumps. I like those old ones, man. Woo, woo, woo. Forget those. Those were the new ones from the devil. Because it's pain. But it's going through that pain that brings the fruitfulness, brings the development. You're unwilling to walk up this road. You know what it is? Many, many people, God is calling you up to this mountaintop experience with him where he wants to reveal himself with supernatural provision. And you're getting it. Yes, yes, I want that. And you come, I got to go up that road? Let me go around this thing, man. Is there another way around this? Come on. And every which way you look at it, the only way up is the road of sacrifice. If you will walk around that mountain a little while, you will see a lot of Christians. There are many people that have built their churches there. You'll go around that mountain, there'll be like families just living there. There'll be some people here, their marriage is just there. Their job is there. They've camped all around. And few say, no. I'm not happy with just living at the bottom of this mountain. I'm not happy of just living from hand to mouth. I'm not happy with just going through church and playing the game. Sunday, Wednesday. Something in me yearns for more. The road is the road of sacrifice. Jesus says in Matthew 10 verse 39, he who finds his life will lose it. He who finds his life will lose it. Hey, I found my life. Yeah, this is what I want to do. This is what I love. This is me. Jesus says, you found it. You've lost it. Hey. What? And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Let me break this down to you. Basically, Jesus is saying this. You do what you do, whatever you want to do, you've probably already lost. You do whatever you want to do. You do what you feel like doing, you're going to lose him. That's what Jesus is saying. He said, if anyone finds his life, he'll lose it. Listen, I do what I want to do, when I want to do it, how I want to do it. You're going to lose it soon. You're losing it. It's dripping away. It's like trying to hold water in your hand. It's like trying to collect sand in a bucket that has a hole in it. You are losing it, and eventually it will be lost. Because without sacrifice, none of us can follow Christ. We must lay some things down. Look at someone and say, you gotta lay it down. Now let me speak about something here. How many minutes we got? Okay, I've only been going for 20 minutes. Sometimes we look at we start to talk about all the bad things we've given up. You gave up crack. Say, yeah, I gave up crack, man. How many of that helped you? Thank God you're in a crackhead. This is what we talk about. Oh, I don't rave no more. I don't smoke no more. I don't drink no more. I gave up my carnal boyfriend. So you gave up bad things. Even in the world, they know they're bad. Even the world knows that those things are bad. Nobody don't put that on their CV. Yeah, I can rave like a good un. No one puts that on their CV. Yeah, I can drink everybody under the table. No one puts that on their CV. This is not what God is talking about, because when God came to him, he said, I want you to sacrifice your son. Not only your son, the son that is going to be, that I promised would be the heir, and you would become a nation. Not only that son, the son that God gave him. God gave him that son. This is not like God said to him, okay, you know what, Abraham, here am I. Stop smoking crack. Okay. Let me put the pipe down. That's it. That's not what happened. This is a good thing in itself. Can God put his finger on an element of your life which you see as good and say, I want you to lay this down? Is there anything in your life that you love more than God? That if God was to put his finger on this and say, listen, this is not for you. But everybody else is doing it. I don't care. This is not for you. When I read this, and the longer I'm saved, I realize how powerful this is. Because the longer I'm saved, the more good things God gives me. When I just got saved, yeah, give up everything. I had nothing, man. I'll give it all up. But the longer I'm saved, the more good things God gives me. And then he says, now, give it up. This is where I wrestle. This is where I desire. And I said, God, I don't just want to go around the mountain. I asked myself the question, how did Abraham do it? And it's very simple. To walk the road of sacrifice, you're going to need faith. It's so simple.
Abraham had it. Look at his words. Genesis 22 verse 5. And Abraham said to the young men, stay here with the donkeys. And he says, stay here with the donkeys. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come to you. Now hold up, Abraham, think about this now. Abraham left his house, he's got his donkeys and everything, and his servants are coming with him, Isaac's coming with him, that's who he's going to sacrifice. He gets to a certain point, and he says, listen, we got to go, you guys wait here. You know, sometimes you just got to do some things by yourself. Everyone else ain't going to understand. You can't be ringing around. Some things you just got to lay down. Some things God's going to speak to you about, and you're going to call some people because they're going to support you. Hey, no, you'll be all right with that. No, you don't need to lay that down. And you think, why don't they understand? Because listen, some things you just got to leave some people behind and say, listen, you don't understand this, so I'm just going to leave you there. The Bible says he didn't tell his servants. Let me push this a bit harder, and this is going to blow some people's minds. I don't even think he told his wife. I don't think she would have let them go. Come on, ladies. Your husband, yeah, come on, we're going to sacrifice. You'd be like, you sacrifice yourself first. You come sacrifice. Sacrifice yourself, man. I wouldn't wait until I was 90 to push out this kid. Now you're going to go kill it. Nutcase. You are on crack. Listen, this is the reality. He says, wait there. And then he says this to them. Wait here. We're going to go up, worship God, make a sacrifice. We're coming back. Abraham, when he didn't understand how it was all going to work out, he still believed it was all going to work out. How many know that's how many of us are? We're waiting for God. We're saying, well, I don't understand how this is all going to work out. So until I understand it's all going to work out, I'm not going to sacrifice. Abraham didn't know how it was all going to work out, but he believed it was all going to work out. Sometimes you don't understand, you've got to make the right decision. There's a brother in Rotherhithe, and when I was there as a disciple, one day after church, you know, after church, Rotherhithe had their own building, and so we're all hanging out after church. We'd be there for an hour after church, just talking. Eventually, the door director would be turning the lights on and off, kicking us out. And so we would, you know, eventually we'd get out. And so there was a guy, he went outside, he got his car, he believed his wife is supposed to come in or come out or something like that. And so what he did is he had the car, it was in the car park in Rotherhithe, excuse me. And so he left the car keys on. And the car on, and he just basically run in. So it'd be like parking up, but not even like outside. It's in a car park. He ran in quickly, got someone, either got his wife, or spent it. And when he came out, his car was gone. Car was gone. I think it was like quite a new Audi A3. It was actually black. I didn't take it. This is many years ago. And so it's quite new. I don't know. Between 10 and 15 grand, it'd probably be worth. And so when I was talking to him, I said, what the insurance? So you're going to get insurance? He said, no. He said, because I left the key in there with the door open, I voided. And so in my mind, can I be honest with you? The thing that came into my mind, I never said it. Yeah, so I'm saved. But what came in my mind is that, boy, just tell them we just got stolen. Tell them stolen, you know. We don't have to talk about keys and doors. Stolen. How did it become so? Sorry, the line has gone. I was like, no, you can't do that. And so he was like, he mentioned, he said, listen, if I told them, he said, the mad thing, if I told them that, it just got stolen, they would give me the insurance money back. But now, because I told them the key was in it and the door was open, I get nothing. I was like, woo, that's a blow, man. You get nothing? He said, I get nothing. See, sometimes you got to obey God. Sometimes you're going to have to make a sacrifice. How many know that he's at a crossroads? I lie and disobey God, or I sacrifice 10 grand and obey God. I lie and disobey God. I sacrifice. I lie and stay at the bottom of the mountain. Drive around with my car. They give me my insurance money. Or I tell the truth and go up the mountain. He told the truth. And within 2 weeks, they found his car. The police found his car and he got it back. Listen, I know many people have had their car stolen and they don't get it back. He got it back. Because God is a supernatural provider. See, sometimes you're going to have to make certain decisions. I remember speaking to many people in this church, but a story that speaks out to me, I remember in the early days of the church, there's a handful of us, and Sister Portia came to me, and she'd been out of work for like six, seven months. She's gotten out of work, no money. You know, and when you're out of work for a long period of time, it kind of, it's frustrating. How many know it's frustrating? People are buying new things. You know, I say, you're just, you know, polishing old things. Ain't nothing wrong with that. She came to me. I never forget, we was in the Methodist building, St. John's Methodist building. She came to me and she said, Pastor, I've been offered a scholarship. They're going to pay for everything for me to go and do a master's. I think it was in Cardiff somewhere. And so here is a woman that's been out of work. And I think she was offered some jobs. Somebody got back to her about working in a bookies, like a betting shop. Some of you, what's a bookies? A betting shop. And I remember her coming to me and I'm like, well, Christians really. So I've already said, look, don't do that. And now she's coming to me. And so I'm like, boy, it's like I'm just saying no, no, no. And here's somebody, you know, I want people to succeed. She said, what do you think I should do? Obviously, she's going to be out of church. She's going to be away from church. We do have a church somewhere there, I think, but at the time. I remember speaking to her and saying, well, you got to make a decision. Did God save you here and place you here for a reason? Or do you feel that if a job or money or career gets offered, that's where you go? I said, you know, you've got to make that decision. I can't make that decision for nobody in this place. You've got to make that decision. And she came back to me, I think the next week or a few days, she said, Pastor, I thought about it and I said, you know what? God saved me here. I'm going to stay here. This is my church. She didn't get a job straight away. And so here is a woman that had to make a decision. Do I just go for the job? Do I just go for the money? Do I go for the career? Or do I say, no, God, you've saved me. This is my church. My friends, this is where you've used me. You're building this church. And you got to remember, this church was only about 20 people at the time. Many people, oh, no, I'm going there, man. They've offered me £10 more a month. I'm going to leave. Hey, ain't nobody paying my rent up in there. Pastor ain't paying nobody's rent up in there. So I don't know why people are telling me I need... Okay, go. And you can build your life around the mountain. While others are saying, listen, I'm going to sacrifice the masters. And many of you know today, she is very successful. She has a good job. And a good career, and she's very happy, and she's going to be married soon. Just to embarrass you. Listen, sometimes you don't understand, but you just believe it's going to work out. What about this? What about when God tells us to love and forgive people? How many know when God tells God? You've got to be so basic to just know that being a Christian, you have to love and you have to forgive. You've got to, listen, that is basics. You've got to understand that before you go anywhere. Before you know anything, you've got to understand that. That God, that Jesus, the Son of God, what the whole of the gospel, we've got to love and forgive. We've got to get on with one another. We've got to get on with people. We've got to be nice to people. Not just nice agreeing with them, hypocrite, flattery, no, but just kind. But sometimes being kind and loving and forgiving opens you up to be abused, to be mistreated more. Especially in our world and our culture, where people are looking for vulnerable people to use and abuse. And so what we many times, we've come in with this, I want to be kind of one, but ain't nobody taking no liberties with me. That's how we feel. And it's almost like the more kindness I'm going to give you, if I forgive you, you're just going to take liberties with me. You're going to use me and abuse me. And so for me to forgive you again, for me to love you again, for me to really be like Christ again, what do I do? Do I sacrifice my own pride and love you and forgive you? Yeah. Or do I say, no, I'm going to be just like the world, protect myself and my own. And just, no. Because if I forgive you, you're going to use me. You see this in all types of relationships. You see it in the church. You see it in ministry. Even as a pastor, these things go for your mind. It gets to the point, no, you're taking too much liberties. No. And God will tell you, no. Die to self again, Courtney. And he tells you, die to self again. Jesus was asked, how many times should my brother sin against me before I don't forgive him? And Jesus said, and so he's like, oh, so what, seven times seven? Jesus said, 70. Just keep going on. In marriage, women, the Bible tells you, submit yourself to your husband. Some of you women in here, you struggle with that. You struggle. Some single women, that's something that grows. When I just said, I didn't even get the word. Oh, here he goes again. Submit. Always everything submit. How come no women close in prayer here? Submit. If I submit, he's just going to keep using me. If I submit, I'm going to become like a little slave at his feet. I'm nobody's slave. So you know what? I'm going to be this. Dangerous diva. What about the husband? To love. Pastor, the more I show her love and kindness, the more liberty she takes with me. I need to come over here and just show who's boss. Daddy's home. See, how many people are you willing, when you don't understand, if I keep doing what God is telling me to do, how is it going to get any better? How is it really going to work out? And even when you don't know how it's going to work, you believe, because God said it will work. Abraham says, listen, don't worry, guys, we'll be back. We're coming back. And the Bible shows us very simple, is that faith believes in miracles. Is there anybody here that believes in miracles? Seriously, is there any Christians anymore? You know the Bible says when Jesus returns, will the Son of Man find faith? Do we really believe in miracles? Because we don't need many miracles anymore. We think we don't need any miracles because we got our jobs and we got our pays and we can go to Tesco's and Asda's and buy food and put it in the fridge and go and buy clothes and get by in life. But listen, you're going to soon come up against an obstacle where you say, boy, I need a miracle. You're going to need a miracle. And the Bible shows us that Abraham still believed in miracles, because it's only when you believe in the miracle of God, the miracle power, will you go up the mountain. Yes. You cannot walk the road of sacrifice if you do not believe in miracles. Because it makes no sense going down that road. I've said it many times. The Bible says he prepares a table for me in the midst of my enemies. Why am I going to go down the road where my enemies are? No, I'm not going down that road. Forget it. Look at them. They're waiting for me down there. But the Bible says that's where he's going to provide for you. He sets a place. He prepares a table for you. We know that he believed in miracles because let me tell you this now. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 11 verse 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he had also received him in a figurative sense. The Bible says this, that gives us some insight into how Abraham thought. He says, you know why he was willing to offer him up? Because Abraham just believed, listen, I will offer him up. I will kill him. I will give him, if God told me to do it, I'll do it. And then God will raise him up again. Listen, Abraham, at Abraham's time, you're like, oh yeah, but remember Jesus, he raised Lazarus. Thousands of years later, no one had ever seen anybody raised from the dead. No one had ever seen it. You're like, Pastor, when has anybody ever done? I know, maybe no one has seen what you need yet. But we listen, seeing is not believing with God. With God, believing is seeing. You will not see it until you believe it. And that's the way God said it. When God comes down, people like to debate with me all the time. I debate with people, talk with people. And what, you know, I was talking to a young guy the other day. He was debating with me. We were talking. I said, but listen, do you believe that God is, that God could create everything? And then if he did create everything, he'd be way more smarter and cleverer than us. And he agreed. He said, yes, he has to be way more smart and cleverer than us. Does that mean then when he does something that we probably wouldn't understand it, but that don't make it that what he's doing is wrong? And God has said, faith. 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 Abraham said, listen, we'll be back. Because even if I have to kill him, God will raise him up again because he's promised me. I want to close by just saying, it's behind you. Isaac was probably not a little child. Maybe in his late teens, I can't remember. I didn't get time to do the mathematics of it. But most commentaries will say he was like a young man. Maybe in his late teens, early 20s, young man. And so he's like, okay, so we got a donkey. We got the wood. Got the servants here. Okay, he told the servants to wait here. We're going up the hill to make a sacrifice. Yeah, we're going to church. Okay, we've seen this before. Where is the sacrifice? How many know sometimes when God is calling you to make a sacrifice, it feels like it's all you? Right now, some of you, God is saying, lay it down, and you're like, it's all me. I'm the only one making the sacrifice. I'm the one who's doing the hard work. Where is the lamb? Where is God? Where is his provision? The Bible says that Abraham replies to his son. He says, God will provide for himself a lamb. God will provide. God is the one who's going to make a sacrifice. He is the one that's going to provide. And the Bible says when Abraham goes up, lays his son down, he's about to sacrifice him. God says, do not lay your hand on the lad. In the end, Abraham lost nothing. See, in our minds, when God says, come up the road of sacrifice, we think we're going to lose everything. We think we're the ones making these sacrifices and we're going to lose out. I'm going to lose my friends, I'm going to lose this, I'm going to lose that, I'm going to lose my job, I'm going to lose my respect, this. All of these things. The Bible says at the end, Abraham lost nothing. Because God was the one that actually said, do not touch him. I was testing you. God said, no, I actually don't want you to give me anything now. I was testing. I wanted to know whether you loved me. Do not touch him. I don't want you to touch him. God would not even allow Abraham to feel the loss of losing his only son. God says, no, no, no. I would not even allow you to go through that, Abraham. I would not put that on you. Because God says, I'm saving that for myself. Because what God would not allow Abraham to do, he did himself for us. You're like, oh, God's asking me to give up. Listen, listen, listen. God is the one who provides for himself a sacrifice. God gave Jesus for you and I. See, when you get to the top of the mountain, you realize it didn't cost you anything. See, at the bottom of the mountain, whoo! God, look at that road. Look at that sacrifice. Look what I've got to go through. No, 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 no. I can't do that. No. When you get to the top, you look down. It didn't cost me anything. It was him. He hung on a cross. He died for me. He shed his blood. God gave his son for you. God was so into you. God looks at you and says, listen, I'll give everything. I'll empty out heaven's riches to save you, to redeem you. What he would not allow Abraham to do, he did himself. This is what Abraham knew all the time. Because he said, listen, God will provide for himself a sacrifice. Abraham knew, listen, I don't understand what God is telling me to do right now, but I know him and he's a good God. He's a good God. Sometimes I don't understand why God is making me do this thing and it's painful and I don't like it. But listen, you need to know that he's a good God. When you feel that you're alone and you're doing all the hard work, it is not true. Because the Bible says, after he was willing to make that sacrifice, and God says, listen, no, I've already provided. The Bible says that Abraham lifted up his eyes and he looked, and behind he saw a ram. The very thing that Abraham needed was just behind him. Just behind him. It was just there all the time. The very thing that you need, the very breakthrough you need, can be just behind you. It's like, it's almost like we're thinking, oh, this is going to take years. This is going to take, no. Just behind you. Like he lifts up his eyes and he realizes, hold up, now it's there. The Bible didn't say that he was at the bottom of the mountain. Like he saw it, oh yeah, I'm at the bottom. Oh wow, look, there's God's provided. No. He had to go up. And when he went up, it was just behind him. When I read this, this is so encouraging because your breakthrough could be out of sight, but just behind you. Where's my breakthrough, man? Oh, this is going to take years. Where's my breakthrough? You don't see it. But God knows, it's just behind you. You don't see it, and you will never see it until you go up the mountain. You will never see what God wants to do in your life until you're willing to walk the road of sacrifice. You will never see it. This is the whole thing of faith. Today, make a decision. Say, you know what? I want to know you as Jehovah Jireh. I'm willing to go up the mountain. I've been going round the bottom of this mountain for so long. And I'm becoming frustrated. Going round in a circle for so long. I need to know you more. I'm going to make this decision. You know what God is speaking to you about. God has laid it on your heart. Make that sacrifice. I want every head bowed, every eye closed.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by this sermon to reach the lost, make disciples. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us online at www.phcwandsworth.com.